The early days of the Second World War was a sobering time for Britain and the Commonwealth. On all sides, the British Empire was under immense strain. The pride of the Royal Navy, the battlecruiser HMS Hood, had been sunk. The British Army had been forced to retreat to Dunkirk. And miraculously, the vast majority, that was 300,000 men, had been lifted from the beaches to return to Britain, their equipment left on those beaches having been immobilised. Field Marshal Wavell reported to the Prime Minister that the battle for France was over. At that time, Britain and her Commonwealth stood alone against the might of the Axis powers of mainland Europe. Then, on the 18th of June 1940, the late Sir Winston Churchill uttered these words to the British Parliament. "The battle for France is over. The battle of Britain is about to begin. Upon this battle depends the survival of Christian civilization. Upon it depends our own British life and the things and the long continuity of the institutions of our empire. The whole fury and might of the enemy must very soon be turned upon us. Hitler knows that he will have to break us in this island or lose the war. If we can stand up to him, all Europe may soon be freed and the life of the world may move towards the broad sunlit uplands. But if we fail, then the whole world, including the United States, including all that we have known and cared for, will sink into the abyss of a new dark age, made more sinister and perhaps more prolonged, more protracted, by the light of perverted science. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duties and bear ourselves, that the British Empire and its Commonwealth, should it last 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour. We of God's Church may not know what tomorrow holds for us at this time today, but we know that God will not allow us to be tested beyond our capabilities. When we read the news that appears on the church website each day, we should be becoming even more aware that the prophesied time of Jacob's trouble is fast approaching. And here we are, at the start of another lap on our journey towards the soon coming return of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. It is He who will bring the reward to each of those who have remained faithful to their calling. My overall purpose today is to draw our attention to the fact that we are probably entering the time of tremendous trial as we begin another cycle of Holy of the Holy Day season. This is because the news that is brought to us each day is pointing to the fact that we are witnessing those things that are prophesied to happen on these days just ahead of us now as they begin to unfold. There is a scripture in the book of Revelation which says, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time." That is Revelation 12 and verse 12. Then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Peter gave us some very good advice, which we ignore at our peril. These words describe the times in which we live, a time when Satan, the god of this present evil world, filled with wrath, is seeking to destroy mankind in order to attempt to thwart the plan of God. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we will read these verses. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may destroy, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Although we are told that Satan is as a roaring lion seeking those he may destroy, it is not a purely one-sided battle. Even though the full fury of our adversary may soon be turned upon us. Some time ago, Mr. Bowles gave a series of sermons on the armour of God, pointing out that there are defences. Taking on the whole armour of God enables the Christian to withstand the attacks of Satan in the evil day. This is not a one-way battle. If we submit to God and resist the devil, he, the devil, will flee from us, as we are told in James chapter 4 and verse 7. As Christians, we are required to do our part. We have been given tools with which to draw closer to God. Bible study, prayer, meditation and fasting. The update of March the 23rd, just a few short time ago, it was entitled Effective Fasting. Of ourselves, we may be powerless against the unseen forces possessed by Satan, but that does not mean that we are without defences. King David, in the book of Psalms, used an analogy of a human warrior's armour when speaking of the power of God to defend as being his shield and buckler and as his defender. I mentioned earlier that this is not a one-sided battle. In the first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul tells us that the temptations that we face are not unique. King Solomon also said that there is nothing new under the sun, and that is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1 and verse 9. The setting may vary, but the temptation or the trial that we're about to face is the same that others have faced before us. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, we see these words. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Although the near future may bring times of great stress and possible persecution, we need to remember that no temptation will come upon us that we are unable to bear. In the verse just quoted, the Apostle Paul tells us that there will be a way of escape. When the Israelites were trapped at the shore of the Red Sea with the Egyptian army behind them and the sea in front of them, Moses said, "Fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Eternal." In the book of Psalms that I alluded to earlier, King David spoke of God in a most positive manner as his defender. Here in Psalms chapter 18 and verses 2 and 3, King David likens God to a solid fortification, an impregnable castle with an impenetrable bastion where we may fear no adversary at all. In Psalms 18 verses 2 and 3, we read the following. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Eternal, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Our God is our protector. Not only that, he is also our rescuer, the one who provides our salvation. He also saves us from our enemies. Our defences are sure. So, returning to the words of Sir Winston Churchill, let us therefore brace ourselves to the duties, to our duties, and to so bear ourselves. The coming days may be tough, but we also must be tough. The Israelites departed from Egypt. That was tough going. They were told to stand firm, to see the salvation of the Eternal. Theirs was a physical goal, their promised land. For us, the goal is far greater. As sons of God, we are looking for a better country, that is, a heavenly country. We know where we are going. We have a dream of the future, a future reality, our present hope, a reality that is becoming ever closer as each day passes. We are almost at the last of the last days. That can no longer be denied. I don't think anybody would look at the world and say that we've got years and years left. We just have not. The work of God, the work that God has begun, will continue, but our Heavenly Father would like us to be actively involved in taking part in that journey. The journey will need courage and determination. It will need us to stand firm and see the salvation of the Eternal. We will have to brace ourselves to our duties and the task ahead of us, that one day it won't just be people who will say of us that this was their finest hour, and our Father in heaven saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant."